Who's hosting?
Oh, shoot. I totally forgot about that. I'm so sorry, guys.
Because he usually does when Greg's not here.
I thought we did not figure that out. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. That's fun. That's so fun.
You hooligan.
My bad, Tim. Tim, you know what happened, Tim, is you came in with that host energy.
Did I?
I had my head up my ass with a bunch of other stuff today. So I apologize, everyone. This
Nick,
is the
I'm with
podcast.
You. I'm
Andy's going to host. Andy's hosting today.
Andy, you're hosting today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome
and
to
while
the
you're hosting,
podcast.
I'll pull all the fun Patreon stuff that I was supposed to do for this
the show
episode.
Where three out of or four best friends gather around this table and bring whatever they want to talk about and that's going on in their lives. My name is Andy, and I am joined by the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino. At Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one or the engaged one?
He switches it up.
Okay. Because I've noticed he said engaged recently. Tim Geddes is here.
Bless him, host. Nick, I like the energy you're bringing into this. Andy introduces you, and the first thing you go to is,
Andy, I have our Patreon producers, by the way, if you want me to go over that, whatever you want.
Go ahead, Nick Scarpino.
Man. I want to give a shout out to our Patreon producers. It's a group effort out there, ladies and gentlemen. Uh-huh. We're co-hosting this through the three of us, but you guys out there are really the group that's holding it down. Shout out to Mohammed, Julian, the gluten-free gamer, Blackjack, Whack, Lee Polero, Steve Rogers Powers, and Kiernan O'Donnell. Kiernan O'Donnell, every time I see that name, I want to think like this is a non-alcoholic beer that actually tastes good. You guys are awesome. Remember, if you
really
guys
hard
want
to find, really hard
it's hard
find.
It's difficult. If you guys want to go and support this podcast, there's a number of different ways, but the best is going over to patreon.com/kindoffunny and backing us at any of those tiers. $5 gets you a part of the show. We're going to go over some of your questions later when I pull them. $50, I believe, gets you exclusive prints from Panda Musk that you can only get once this year, otherwise they're gone. You have to track Kevin down for his. And of course, if you don't have those bucks, $1 just goes toward our ever grateful attitude towards you. We love you very much. That's it for me, Andy. Take it away.
Different places you can go to get the show. You can get, you know, go to Patreon to get the show ad free with the exclusive post show. You can watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. You can also get it as a podcast in your favorite podcast service. Just search for Kinda Funny Podcast. The Globe. There we go. See,
The Globe.
How many idiots does it take to host a podcast? You know what I mean? We're going to find that out today.
Usually just one, Kevin. Yeah, you're right.
That is a good point. That is.
Here's Mike. What were you guys talking about before I joined on? I came in mid thing and something about a spoon. Are we talking about that?
We got some good topics today. I want to hold the spoon thing for a little bit because, Kev, I've been holding on to a story that I wanted to regale you guys with for quite some time. All right. Andy's already heard parts of this, if not all of this already. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Before you do that though, Tim, we do want to give a shout out to our sponsors, ExpressVPN and Upstart, but we'll talk about them later.
Yeah, we will, baby.
Did we say that already?
No, but I just love this.
What a disaster.
What a fucking
I'm so sorry, guys.
That, like, literally, this is what we do. Like, this is all we do when you really boil it down. It's just like, I love that even though we didn't talk about who's doing it beforehand, one of us should have just jumped in and just done it, you know? But instead, here we are, 4 minutes into this, and we're still trying to figure out what parts we did or didn't do.
Nick, I'll be honest. When the podcast started and we are all deer in the headlights, I'm looking at Tim the whole time.
Yeah, that's his ass. Now, we all know that I am the unfortunate de facto host whenever Greg's gone. Greg, of course, is camping. I fully expect him to come back with a tick and regale us with stories about being bitten by or being best friends with a bear, and they both died of fucking Lyme disease. I don't know why it didn't occur to me. I knew Greg was on vacation.
Why do you have to strike his feet? Number one fear or number two fear?
Because Kevin, it's fun. Don't you like doing
it's
that?
It's fun, man.
Wait, first off, Kevin, in the story,
Greg was dead when he came back.
Yeah. He's dead because of the tick. Lyme disease. Yeah.
Of course.
But dead metaphorically. Like, his energy died. But he's here. But you know how people say, like, you don't come back from, like, you don't come back from the war. You know what I mean? He came back, but he didn't come back. Greg is not going to come back from this camping. He's just going to basically never want to go camping again.
He looks pretty miserable.
Oh, no. He's going to be like, oh, it was great. But if you look at him, he's so pissed he's not near his PlayStation right now. Yeah. And he probably tried to hook that PlayStation up to that Gulfstream, whatever that thing is. And it just didn't work. But I want to dial it back for a second, Tim, because Kevin was like, why do you love giving Greg so much shit? To which I will answer that question with a question. Kevin, Why do you love giving Greg so much shit? Because you give him as much shit as I do. It's just we alternate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just fun, you know what I mean?
Exactly. 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 That's fuck what him. I say.
The thing that I will say is that I want you all to know this as my friends, right? Mm-hmm. If I get a girlfriend that maybe gets invited to Tim's wedding in the future.
You gotta be quick.
And I go on a camping trip. I want you to know that no matter how I look on the in the photos, I'm not happy.
No, of course not.
And I could fake it. I can like doing a cute smile, like, hey, here with the babe. You know, we're eating some fucking bacon or whatever.
I'm here with the babe. Here's my
babe in a little pine cone I found, or like, you know, whatever. Here's the dead cardinal. Sure. I don't know what you do when you go camping.
Dead cardinal. Is where your brain went.
Yeah.
Like an actual bird, like a red bird.
Yeah, no. From the Vatican.
The actual cardinal of the Vatican is going to be there. If you find either of those things, you are cursed. That's bad.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want you to know in these photos, like, I'm never happy if I'm out there. And that's what I'm telling you all, just as my friends here in this little closed circle. You too, Kevin. Okay.
Because I saw these pictures of Greg, and I'm right there with you, Andy. Obviously, I don't need to explain all that. We all know we're in the same place. Like, all three of us, you find us camping, we don't want to be there. Nick, I don't believe for a goddamn second there's any part of you that like would be happy camping. Sure, all three of us can find moments of joy in random.
Sure,
you
sure,
give me
sure,
a nice sure. body of water, I'm gonna be fucking splashing around like a thing that splashes. You know
like
what I mean?
Billy goat,
like a small,
goat.
Like a small, like a billy goat. Thank you. That's what I was looking for, and I couldn't get there. But that's what it is. But thinking, like, seeing these pictures, like, threw me back to the times when I had to be in these situations, in these tents and stuff. But then you look at what Greg and Jen are doing, and it's like, you're not camping. You just brought your house with you.
Yeah.
You know, like, which I respect.
Guys, they're glamping. There's nothing wrong with glamping. Frankly, it's the ultimate form of camping. It's, you know, nature, but with all the comforts of daily life.
All the commodities, yeah.
Comforts, yeah. There's nothing wrong with
comforts. I meant to say amenities, not commodities.
Amenities works, yeah.
I totally agree, Kevin. I feel like that's the way that I would prefer to go, because they showed a picture of that bed, and it looked like better than my bedroom. Like, this whatever thing they're doing.
I don't know if you guys...
What's up, Kevin?
I was going to say, I don't know if you guys have ever had sex while camping on the dirt. It's not fun. I mean, like, it's fun. It's just less fun than
it
on
just
kind
of hurts. Yeah. Like,
one time I did jujitsu.
Your knee might be on a rock or something.
I did jujitsu in a park, and I found like the dirt in my jute hole.
Oh, my jute hole.
For clarification, Nick, what's the jute hole?
That's the butthole.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay,
thank you.
Gotcha.
I'm happy.
So anyway, Tim, I agree with you. You would find joy around a body of water. I would find joy probably around. If there was a really good scenic kind of view, right? Vista. Like if there are nice vistas,
the windows,
out there,
Vista wallpaper.
I love that shit. Like, I'm a big fan of that stuff. As long as I don't have to stay in it for too long. For example, when I made my cross country drive from Boston, Massachusetts to Austin, Texas, and driving through the northeastern states, beautiful. Like, I had such a blast going down these roads and actually seeing elevation changes, because I'm just not used to that. Like, in tech, you think Austin is flat? Like, the Rio Grande Valley is flat, dude. Similar to when we went to
Arizona.
Yeah.
It was Arizona.
Very,
yeah.
Very so similar
flat.
To that.
Very flat.
Very similar to that. Very, very flat. There's really no elevation changes. There's nothing really cool or special looking about the area that you're in. But I love cool. I mean, it's a big reason why I love Lord of the Rings, right? I think it just adds to the mystique and the wondrous nature of it.
Wait, the hills is a big reason why you love Lord of the Rings? That would have been
the big mountains and the cool helicopter shots, Kev, and everything looks beautiful out there. Everything looks beautiful. Nick, what is one thing that you would like? Me with my vistas, Tim with his bodies of water. Which we don't, by the way, know the difference between a pond or a lake. We still haven't figured
that
out.
But do you know that a goat, though, is what Greg looks like in the lake, right?
A billy goat, yeah. A billy goat. Tim is what Tim looks like. Yeah.
Oh, Tim looks like, okay.
What do you like? What would be the one thing that you'd say, all right, this is for me? While I'm camping, I don't really like anything that's going on here, but I like this one thing.
So the thing about it is this. If I were still smoking... Being able to like wake up in the morning, have a cup of coffee and a cigarette, and just stare out into nature Kevin knows what I'm talking. Fuck you guys.
Nick,
Kevin,
Nick, dude. Spooky the Bear
comes
it.
Out just like, the fuck are you doing, man? Like, this Stop is the that. One well, thing also, we told you not to do.
Nick, it's brisk, that. And brisk doing, cold morning, Kevin. Doing it in nature and Paris. It's just great.
Oh, Paris, nature, Vegas. Also, the idea
Vegas,
that you can...
You're right. Paris, yeah. Nature, and Vegas.
Anywhere in nature is always fun. Like, I like the trips where you go, you party till night, and then you're outdoors, and you're like, oh, we're going to drink until like 2 o'clock in the morning. We can be as loud as fuck. And anytime I have to pee, a toilet is just like 3 feet in any direction from where I'm standing. That's the best part about camping.
So in this story right now, you're thinking Vegas, which makes sense. I get it. I buy it.
We're out in the middle of the
nature. And I'm like, okay, anywhere you go, you can pee on trees. I get it.
Yeah.
Paris.
Well, Kevin said Paris, not me. Okay. I did not say Paris.
Gotcha.
But
Kevin
like you
says
kind
he
of
likes
agree.
Smoking cigarettes in Paris. Well, yeah. That was a different. Yeah. You guys missed the point of that. The point was, where do we like smoking cigarettes? And the answer, really, Kevin, is everywhere. But
you're right. I mean, feel like you could have put in any location there, guys. When I was in high school, I was a.
You guys have a great energy today. I just want you to know that.
When I was in high school, I was in theater. I did a lot of theater. And we went on a trip, kind of a team building thing over the summer. And I didn't really know what it was or what was going to be happening, but we were going to a place called Sky Ranch. And I thought it was going to be, I don't know, like this creative kind of camp that you go to or whatever.
You thought it was Skywalker Ranch.
But I wished him. Oh, my God, I wish. But it was just straight
it's
up kind
cool
of like
you
a
think.
It was just straight up summer camp.
Oh,
as yeah, a high schooler,
like a lot of heavyweights.
And I slept in a room with like four bunk beds with a bunch of my students and classmates is what the word I'll look for.
Hot. But also Andy my slept with the students. You heard it here.
No. But also my teacher was like sleeping on one of the bunks and he was snoring like crazy. We could not fall the fuck asleep. Also, he was Disney Teacher of the Year. Shout out Mr. Cepeda. Awesome dude. Great dude. Really was Disney Teacher of the Year, though, like of the whole country. It was
what
crazy.
Does that mean?
I don't believe it.
Disney gave out these awards for like being Teacher of the Year, and he was a theater teacher and who's known for kind of putting the Rio Grande Valley on the map when it comes to theater.
Shit.
And like Disney like gave him the award out of everybody in the country. It was fucking crazy.
Wasn't that like a morning thing for like the, you know, when they had ABC cartoons? You remember that they had those like morning?
I don't know.
That's where that came. I think that there's some connection there. I remember hearing about
it's possible. The year. Anyway, we went to the Sky Ranch thing, and I was, like, miserable. My friends and I were all just – my friends and I are just all – the most outdoors we'd get is, let's go play basketball. Let's go throw the football on the street, whatever the fuck, you know. Mm-hmm. But we were all there just, like Greg is, like, right now. I want to play video games. We're just like, what are we doing here? We don't belong in a campsite at all, right?
No, and
they had
kids,
us do like
for sure.
They had us doing like the rock climbing and stuff, and they had us do the yeah. zip line things and all these activities, and I it was just so bizarre and nothing that I ever would want to do again. And I don't understand why people like camping.
Let me be clear. We all should love camping. We all should love being in the outdoors. This is a deficiency on our part. So if you're out there listening going, I love hiking, I love camping, what's wrong with these guys? Lots is wrong with us. You are right. We are wrong. The problem with camping is that it sucks. It fundamentally just everything that the millions of years of human evolution has led us up to creating, it takes away. Now, I understand that's the whole point is to convene with nature and relax. And I bet your blood pressure goes down. Andy, I bet your anxiety would go down. I bet like all of my stress levels would go down if we just went
your
outside.
Your list of fun things to do would go down.
But the list of fun things to do would go down. Can't get Starbucks. That sucks, right?
That sucks.
And also, and again, this is where I draw the line. And this ties into a Patreon question that I've had prepped all day, Tim, is that I don't like the idea of not understanding how to poop while you're camping. Now, I know that campsites have toilets, but real camping is like when they go hunting and they go out into the back of like Australia or whatever, and you got to shit in a hole. How do you wipe your butt? How do you get it, make sure it's clean? Or do you have that thing when you know how sometimes you're like, you get the swamp ass at a convention and you're like, I got to do a security wipe. I got to do one. But how do you do it? You see what I'm saying? This gives me anxiety. That coupled with Starbucks, coupled from my need to smoke outdoors and pee outdoors, this is why I stay away from camping completely.
Yeah, makes sense. You're just looking out for people.
You guys don't ever get constipated when you travel? Because especially
first day
camping,
I
Sure. Oh, man, Hold on. What the fuck type of... How are you going to bring that up, Kevin, in the way that you did?
What,
like,
Tim,
you brought that up as if we had been talking about being constipated. We say, oh, we never do. And you're like, you guys never do? It's like you just...
Well, I mean, he was talking about... No, no, hold on. Nick was talking about pooing. Yeah, he's shitting
in nature. The anxiety
I
get from shitting in a hole
and
camping.
Like, freaking out. Because here's the thing. When I go camping, I generally don't poop. It could be three.
Oh, see, because,
like, what, how many days do you go camping? I think the most you ever do is three or four. Turns out you can just
hold
it for
that long. Three or four? Dude, that thing's going to come out like a bowling ball.
No, I mean, I feel like it's like...
I hate this.
You know, you're...
Dude, I didn't even think about Kevin fucking dumping out a bowling ball. And I also had the image of him having sex with Paula on some dirt. Like, I hate this episode.
Oh, yeah, fuck on dirt. Right. I will say, this has been... a great one so far.
Andy, no one can hear you. You're muted. You're muted, Andy.
Kevin posed a question as if to say, like, do you ever get cold when you go to the Arctic? But he said, do you ever get constipated when you go camping? But like,
a direct response
Kevin,
to...
Kevin, it's like, you're not constipated. You're just not shitting.
Shitting is being constipated, right?
No, constipated is like when you eat a lot of cheese and shit. Yeah.
I want the squeegees.
Second off, Kevin said travel. And this actually is something that happens to people. And it happens to me. So the first day I travel, all of the energy and excitement and anxiety in the travel pushes it back up. Yeah. and then you'll go the first day and go, oh man, I haven't pooped today.
None of this
and then
is
the
true.
Second day, you got, I swear to God, the second day you catch up and it's like, it's bad. Like, you get the pains where you're like, you guys ever do that moment where you're like, I'm totally fine, and then the weather comes in and it starts thundering in a second, and you're like, I have to find a bathroom right now. But by the time you get to it, you've held it, and then you have the cramps, you're like, I can't go, and you can't sit down.
It eventually becomes that way where it's just like you're just uncomfortable the whole time, but you still can't go because you're constipated when you travel.
Yeah, it's this is why I don't like camping. This is why I don't.
Yeah, so I don't like, you know, Nick, you say that my anxiety levels would drop going camping. No, because I'm constantly worried about everything. You know, what if I am allergic to something out here? Where are the snakes at? Where are the bears at? Where are the lions?
That's where they are.
Like,
the bears are in the woods.
You don't have to worry about the snakes because they're more scared of you than you are.
Why don't you need to worry about the snakes?
Because they're more scared of you than you are of them. True fact. This is a fact that I remember hearing that I'd never bothered to check, but I will say it as empirical proof. A rattlesnake is rattling to warn you that it's near and that it's scared of you, and that if you get any closer, it's going to eat you. It's not rattling as a fear tactic to let you know, like, I'm going to fuck you up right now. Yeah. It's saying, get away from me, get away from me. So you're totally fine. You know,
really?
Deers don't attack you.
I mean, thank God rattlesnakes are the only snakes out there.
Yeah. Now, if you're asking yourself, like, the black mamba or the copperhead, those don't make any noise.
Those are coming after you.
I don't think that there's black mambas on this continent, right?
Not in California, but I think we have copperheads, don't we?
But the stories stories that I hear of being in 4 foot tall, like, grass or brush, seeing their head pop up above to look.
That's not true. They don't go up feet.
Oh my God! Yes, they do, Kevin. They're gigantic
snakes.
They're gigantic snakes.
No, but like, they can't stand 4 feet. Like, I don't think anacondas can stand 4 feet.
Okay, 3.5, Kevin.
Let's call it two.
I mean, like, two, I believe. Nick, two is very fair.
If I'm in any sort of grass and I don't see a snake and then I look back over and the snake pops up, I'm terrified. I don't care if it's like my parents' yard in Riverside and a fucking snake comes up 2 feet. I'm terrified of it.
If you're not terrified seeing a snake, like, that's a you problem.
See, I'm not scared of snakes. If I saw, let me preface this. If I saw a very venomous snake in the wild and it was a foot away from me, I'm sure I'd shit my pants, unless, of course, we've already established it's day one or two of traveling that I'm constipated. So if I saw, like, for instance, when I think I'm pretty sure when I went to Morocco, I saw cobras, like snake charmers. That was scary as shit. But in general, if it's like, oh, there's just a snake behind glass, or if I see an anaconda, like some sort of python.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not scared of a shark.
If I saw a small python, I'd be like, I think I'm okay. Or if it was a garden snake, I'd be okay.
Tim, you go to an aquarium, you see the shark, and you're not just a little scared that it's going to break the glass? Scared. I'm always a little scared. No.
Kevin, I always kind of worry.
I'm scared it's going to steal my identity.
I'm immediately thinking.
What?
Yeah, I'm just fucking with you.
I'm immediately thinking about my exit plan. Kevin, when I'm in an aquarium, I'm thinking, like, where am I going to run out of?
Every time.
Where's the exit? How fast can I run? Is anybody in here slower than me? Probably, because I'm super fucking fast on the ground. That's true. I'm one of the fastest land mammals.
But go ahead, Sharpino.
When you guys go to an aquarium, do you sometimes think about the scene from Mission Impossible where he blows up the glass and then has to run out of the thing as all the fish and stuff are coming?
Literally every single time. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, here's the thing, though, about the aquarium that did scare me when I was younger. There was an aquarium that I don't think is there anymore near Pier 39 where it's a dome aquarium. It's a tunnel where the aquarium's all over.
I love that.
Right?
Oh, that's scary.
On top of that, you're on the entire floor is moving. So it's kind of like a giant.
Are you sure you're not thinking of the Discovery Zone? It's like a giant
conveyor belt. I'm blanking on the other term for it, like airport style things. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like people mover.
People mover. And when I was little, when we did a field trip there, I was like probably second grade or some shit. Cool as fuck, right? And there's nothing to be scared of. It's just like we're in this thing and like we're safe because the teacher brought us here. The teacher decides to be like, yeah, it'd be really unfortunate if the glass broke and the water came in, because then all the electronics of this would probably get electrocuted and we would all die. It's just like, well, okay, now that is actually the worst fear that I have of this aquarium. Yeah. So sharks, not so much. Water draining, electricity eels. Into the water, eels, boom, get done.
I'll throw this out there. I think eels are scarier than any other sea creature. I think eels are disgusting.
Snakes are scary. Sea snakes are even scarier, and that's pretty much what eels
electric
is.
Seal sea snakes? Like, think about that. Like, guys, no, you're shark? Not supposed to have like two power like powers.
I'm just talking about appearances. Like, if I'm camping, I don't want to see a snake. If I'm underwater, I would rather see a shark than an eel of some sort.
What about a barracuda?
I don't know about that.
Kevin, that brings up the thing number five to be scared of from the 80s, piranha/barracuda. Fucking movie had a piranha in it where if someone was in it, they go into the tank, they come out a skeleton.
Yep.
That was scary. So that you had to watch out for that a lot in the
80s. Good point, Nick. I feel like that was kind of a staple of a lot of movies back in the day.
Very, very where scary. Did you guys ever see the movie Sphere?
Andy, look at that. Oh, wait, hold on.
Somebody gets attacked by eels. It's terrifying. They're scary.
That was weird.
It was weird.
Yeah,
it could have been better.
Yeah, barracuda's super fucking ugly. Like, yeah, I'm
looking at that.
Barracuda.
Yeah, they're terrifying.
Cool song,
though. All these angels.
I won't disagree, but
can you imagine this swimming at you?
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
No, I can't. It's look at the teeth alone.
Why does it have to have teeth like that? That's a dog's teeth.
I guess here's what I say. And I was talking about this with Joey and Tim and Gia the other day. Seeing a barracuda and a shark, I still equate it to a fish because it has fins, right? It's still doing like the swimming thing.
Just the fish.
But I feel like lizards are snakes with arms, but I'm way less scared of lizards because they have like arms. Yeah. And the fact that snakes and eels have neither, and they're just these fucking like aggressive things, like it puts them in a different class of fear for me. Like, Kevin, if you just Google like eels, they're fucking gross and ugly, and like I hate seeing pictures of them.
Andy, have you ever seen
why does its mouth have to open this way, and then it has an disgusting inside mouth? Do you see the inside mouth?
Yeah,
it's right here, and it's coming out now, right there.
That's like that's the equivalent to if Tim was sitting in a room and both me and you came into the room, and then two more of us came into the room. That would just be overwhelming for Tim.
Exactly.
Yeah, Nick, so that's way too much.
The thing about eels is eels are just straight up like a Star Wars monster. They come out of these fucking holes and just come get their prey and bring them back. Like,
asteroid.
They're the grossest looking things ever, man.
I mean, think about the eels in Mario 64. That was
exactly. I hated that
nightmare shit.
Yeah, I don't
remember. I hated that moment.
Because they have that look where it's like they never seem like they're looking straight. They're always looking that way.
Yeah. Look how big that is, Kevin. See the fact that it doesn't. The fact that it doesn't have fins just throws me off, dude. If it had fins, I would feel like a lot more comfortable with it. I'll be honest.
I feel like the teeth on it, though. Here, like, I don't know if that's getting through my wetsuit. You know?
Yeah.
No, they're strong.
Yeah.
I mean, the bite strength. I'm gonna look at bite strength, dude.
Yeah, the psi on that jaw is insane.
Yeah, that's chomping through your fucking little cotton suit.
Oh man, I want to
chomping through your skin.
I follow Andy. I follow a couple people on Instagram for like reptile farms, and one of them is like a snake farm. And every like couple weeks, I'll wake up and it'll be the guy who's like, you know, they're always like, we'll say charismatic.
Oh, you know? I think you showed us this
before. Did I? Okay, so every once in a while he'll pull out, I think they call it a clutch of snake eggs, and there'll be anaconda eggs, and they have to like rip the anaconda out of the membrane. So the egg itself is like soft. It looks like a soft, like a hard boiled egg. And when they rip it out, the little snake like pops out and they're like, oh, look at him. He's so pretty. Meanwhile, the mama snake, whose circumference is this thick, is fucking snapping at them. And they've got this rudimentary tool where it's like, it looks like a hanger where they just kind of try to grab the snake's neck and kind of push it aside. Cause it doesn't have teeth. I don't think the anacondas have the teeth, but it'll still hurt if it nips you or like hits you.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, it's grabbing on you and it's going to wrap you up.
Absolutely fascinating. My wife hates it. D thinks it's the most shockingly disgusting, like disturbing thing ever. So every time I get it, I text her the links to it.
Great. Of course you do. I mean, I'm the same way, dude. Oh,
what is this monster?
That's what I'm saying. Apparently, Kevin. Have I opened your eyes to how awful eels are?
You have. It's got some sort of toxin, Andy, on its skin that makes it so you don't stop bleeding. So that's fucking fun.
Well, that's not good.
And also the fact that like some of them are electric is another like factor that we're not even talking about.
That's presented it extremely poorly. But it's like terrifying. That's the thing is like, think about Pokemon. You're either a water type or an electric type. Water types are weak to electric type. You can't be both. That not is eels. Fucked up. Not these damn electric eels.
Yeah, exactly.
Electric eels are like scorpions, man. You need to choose one or the other. You can't have scorpions. All of the cool things. Scorpions,
and that's what I'm saying. We're like, if I'm underwater and I see a barracuda or an eel, I'm more likely to be scared by an eel just based on its appearance. If I'm in my room and there's a poisonous iguana or a poisonous snake, the Komodo? Snake is going to scare me more because I feel like I can predict a creature's movements if it has arms.
Dude, I think you can. You absolutely
feel like I feel like I could see where it's running and like where its momentum's going, but a snake is so unpredictable and so fucking freaky. Yeah. Get away from me, dude. Get away. Dude, get out of my life.
It's the difference between a platformer and like a straight up like third person like 3D game.
Exactly.
Where you know the platformer, like he's only gonna go up, down, left, and right. That's it. That's all we can do. With the 3D, you're like, what? Like it's like Fall Guys. Like there's just fucking chaos. And with the snake, they can move. I don't trust anything that can move in more than like three directions at the same time. Do you see what I'm saying? Because the snake,
they work in like
Z space. I don't like.
Yeah. Nick, it's like it's similar to the beings in Interstellar living in four-dimensional space.
They move through five-dimensional space. Is a great line.
It's so true.
Technically, Kevin, we all move through Z space, but don't hold me on that.
Don't think about it too hard. Don't think about
it. Did you just bring up right now, Kevin?
It's how electric eels attack you.
That looked awful. That looked like. Hey, I'm James Cameron. We're working on the new Alien movie. Here's our puppeteer showing you like one of our creatures that we're creating. That didn't look real. That didn't look like.
I haven't watched the video, but it seems like they like sliding up you while they shock you.
So. Yeah, they shock your leg.
Look at all the shock happening.
What does the shock do?
That looked like he enjoyed it way more than I thought he would.
Oh, shit. He's about to fuck up this crocodile.
What? Oh, it's not a real crocodile.
It's just like a little nuzzle.
But do they like? Are they adding the lighting effect?
I think they must be.
Obviously,
right?
They are.
It'd be cool as shit if that's what really happened.
Just
happening
made that like real, fucking dude. Nightclub shit.
Do you guys want to hear the stuff of nightmares? You want to get really?
I don't like this.
This
I don't. Podcast? Were we talking shit about Greg? What happened to that?
Kevin,
so there's I read an article the other day about a group of scientists who are trying to. I don't know the exact reason why they're doing this, but they're working with mosquitoes to try and like genetically engineer mosquitoes that are like were resistant against malaria so that they can push them out into the wild and kill all the other mosquitoes and basically stop the spread of malaria.
Yeah.
But what's up?
They make it so the babies of them are infertile.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Cause they're working, I think specifically with just females. Cause I think females are the only ones that bite humans. But in order to do it, they've been cleared to feed the mosquitoes with their own arms. And the way they do that, Tim, is they shove their arm through a box that has one of those like scientific plastic
like
things on it to keep them from coming out. And they all just attach to his arm and start sucking. And it's horrifying to look at.
But why would they do that?
Because they want. I don't know. I didn't get that.
They don't have blood from like dead people.
Yeah, this seems like a horrible decision that ends up with supervillains.
So they literally said, he goes, the reporter asked him, like, does that hurt? And he goes, well, after the first month, your body stops having the autoimmune reaction to it that swells your arm up. He goes, so people after a day, you can't even really see them after they do it. And she's like, you're fucking crazy. Like, apparently it's against the law in a lot of states to test this shit on yourself.
I would imagine.
Guys were just like, we're doing it.
So are they putting whatever experimental stuff into their blood and then having that?
I don't know what the purpose of them feeding it was. I just got to that picture, Kevin, and I just stopped reading the article.
Yeah, do they not know it's 2020?
It's like, the picture,
yeah, right? This is not the year to be fucking opening up sarcophagus.
We're not, we cannot be experimenting right now.
Correct.
Nick, what I was really worried about is that you're going to say they have created these sort of, anti-malaria mosquitoes, but then they brokered a deal with the other mosquitoes. Like, they actually went out to the wild and were like, you know what, guys? Like, we got something going here. We're going to, like, take on the humans. And, like,
that's
like,
hilarious.
Holy shit.
I'm trying to find this article. Oh, here it is. I found it.
Oh, you guys aren't going to want to see this. Oh, you're not going to want to see this.
Don't
where do I
this.
Drop it,
don't,
Kevin?
I mean, it'll look like any afternoon in Texas, dude.
Are we just going to drop? I'm going to drop it into assets? No.
Great. Yeah, that'll work. That'll work.
Yeah,
do you want me to pull it up or do?
Yeah, let's pull it up.
Oh no!
Okay.
It's horrifying.
No, fuck this. Fuck that. This is fucking dumb. There must be a better way to do this. There's no way this is the best way.
I'm deleting this so I don't have to look at it in assets anymore.
Thank you very much. These people like it. I can tell that they like it.
They're into it, right? Like, they get a boner. They get a little boner when they do it.
God damn it, Nick. Do they get a boner? Do they get a little boner?
You know what I mean? Andy, like, where it's like, it kind of hurts good.
God, man, I'm sorry for all the people watching. This sucks for you guys.
They make me the de facto host of this podcast for a reason.
For a damn good reason.
For a damn good. Now, Tim,
was it sent to assets?
Yeah, I just deleted it because I can't. Every time, I don't want people to go into assets to see it and then.
Blessing, just be like, what the fuck is wrong with Nick?
Well, he knows. Come on, he knows.
Fuck mosquitoes,
man. We all know.
Dude, mosquitoes are so commonplace to me.
Oh, they're my wife's biggest fear. Because for whatever reason, they go past my fat ass and go straight to her. And they love her. They love her. Whatever it's maybe. I think it's like chemical or biological. Yeah. But man, they just – maybe it's because I drink too much coffee. But they love
being back home kind of reminds me that mosquitoes exist. So whenever I do go visit and – you know, you're at your friend's house and we're drinking in the garage and we're just kind of like shooting the shit, like watching TV or whatever. And it's like, fucking Jesus Christ. Like, immediately you get 7 bites on your arm and 3 on your leg. And it just sucks, dude.
The worst is when you see one on the wall and you go, fuck, I'm going to kill this thing before it gets to me. And then you smash it and it just explodes
blood.
And you're like,
yeah.
It already got me.
No,
so you already got me.
Okay, that is bad. That is bad. But I would say the worst thing. Because getting got sucks. The fear of getting got is even worse. And it's when you go to hit it, you miss it. You can't find it.
You
and then
it
6 hours later, you're in bed and you just hear the.
Like, yeah. I hate it.
It's the worst, dude. The worst place to get a mosquito bite is probably. I've gotten like.
Behind your knee.
That's pretty bad. Yeah. Knees or ankles, sucks. Really, really bad. I've gotten a bite like kind of near my ear.
Oh.
Like earlobe-ish area, like just around here, that sucks. It's like the most annoying. It's like getting acne in spots that you normally don't. It's like, what the fuck? Why do I have a pimple in my earlobe, you know? It's fucking annoying, dude.
Well, we're off to a start on this one, ladies and gentlemen. If you're still with us, man, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get us to stop talking about mosquitoes if you give us $1 or more. I promise we'll never talk about this again until Greg comes back, and then we'll ask him all the – I want the real scoop from Greg, though.
Yeah.
Because whenever Greg's with his wife, he's better Greg. But when he's with us, he's terrible Greg. And that's – we bring that at him. I want, like, what are the trials and tribulations of going out there and competing with nature? Although, to be fair, they did.
Competing.
They brought a freaking 15-foot – camper to shit in. So that's not real.
Yeah, that's not real camping. But the meals that they're making look really good. Like, even though I'm I don't really eat eggs, it still looks like, yeah, those look like good eggs. This looks like a good breakfast.
How did I know?
I grew up allergic.
Oh, see, this is my eggs are one of my number one favorite drunk foods. When you're done at the bar or it's RTX, we go to that Denny's. And it's like, I want a Grand Slam breakfast right now. Bacon. I want sausage. I want everything greasy possible. And I want Andy to order the pancakes and I want to eat half of his pancakes. Man, I missed RTX. I kind of missed going to the events this year. For as much as I bitch about him, Tim, where I'm like, I don't want to go to E3. I missed it.
I fucking love events, dude. I love hanging out with just friends that you never get to see and going to eat food that you never thought you'd eat. It's usually just like bullshit food, but it's still fun. Totally. It's that sort of communal experience where I don't love getting out when I'm, you know, here in my home or whatever, but out there you're kind of forced to. So I just kind of, fuck it. I'm just going to take advantage of the situation. I got bit by a mosquito on my arm.
While we were talking about that. It's kind of like spiders where you talk about spiders and you feel them all over you. It's like, God, phantom spiders. But I'm totally with you where it's like, I miss going to events and having all those moments. But the thing that sucks for me is not knowing if they're ever going to come back and if I'm ever going to get that experience again.
Right.
Like, there's no guarantee that there will ever be a real RTX again, you know? Like, that sucks. But it's like, I'm actually cool having a year off. Like, it's been real nice not being on a single plane this year after having like 10 years of every month going somewhere, you know? And like, and even more than that, like just boiling it down to just like RTX or just Comic-Con or E3, it's like, it all starts to blend where I'm like, I don't remember the difference between these years. But I think that I remember last year's now. And I think that having this break now, if we do get to go back next year, that one's going to be memorable too. You know, it's going to be like a new energy and like,
Everyone's going to be
fun going back to it thing.
Absolutely. Everyone's going to be so excited to see each other. We're going to rage that first night. It's going to be bad. It's going to be like,
it's going to be messy. It's going to be violent. Yeah.
Sloppy dirty.
I kind of forget that for last year, Greg was like on 1K of podcasts in the first like 3 months or something like it was crazy the amount of times that he was going out to go do stuff, and then this was going to be his year where he started his trip counter. He was telling me when I was I saw him recently and he was
that's a cool idea.
I was like, I was starting my trip counter and I could be like, all right, here's flight number 4 of the year or whatever, and then COVID happened and just all like went to shit or whatever. But I remember like last year Greg had the most ridiculous schedule. He was
guys, we did a world tour last year.
Yeah, we hit like, fucking status. We had status on United.
Fucking status, man. But like, it just, it's crazy to think about that. Like, we went to so many places. We're in so many giant groups of people. And like, here we are now. It's just like,
we went to fucking London last year and it was awesome.
Yeah, it was fucking
awesome.
So
awesome. I know that's one of the kickers is obviously like, when you get used to traveling like that, there's that certain feeling of, at first you're like, oh God, this is going to take so much energy, right? Then you're like, man, I'm going to have to sit on a big old pile of poop internally for at least the first couple of days until
a bowling ball is going to fall on my ass.
And then, yeah, we're going to we know that Kevin's going to poop a bowling ball. We're not going to see it, but we'll feel it. But there's that, like, I miss the energy that goes into them. And then those wonderful moments of release, right? And it starts with the airport. It's always like you wake up that morning, like, is the Uber going to fuck me? What's going to happen? Am I going to get there? Are they going to screw it? Did I get my TSA pre-check, is that on the thing that I forget to put that on there? Finally, when you get through, and you guys know that me and Kevin are alike, where we like to get to the airport at least
Nick
5 hours
dude.
Early.
Nick time. Exactly. All Nick the time.
Audience is probably so pissed. They're like, we went an entire fucking year not having airport stories, and now we're back, and we can't even fucking fly.
But you know what? I'm just saying, I love all that initial push. This is what I miss. I miss the initial push to get through security, and like, are we going to have an altercation with TSA today? I don't know. It's exciting, right? And then you get through, and it's immediately, how do I get an iced coffee? And just sit and relax and chill and wait for your flight to take off. And it's that one moment of, I can't do anything else. I'm just in this space right here. You check a little email here and there, read a news story, but you get to actually like just decompress for 1 second before you get on the plane and go off to the trip. And I love that. I love that sort of like the anxiety and the anticipation of what it's all going to be. And I do miss that because I feel like every day, although I am having fun, like the podcasts that we've been doing since Shelter in Place, I think have been some of our best content. But it's not the same, man.
It's crazy that we made vlogs. Like, yeah. When I see those, I forget that those pieces of content existed, because not only was going on trips, you know, kind of a more of a special thing because it was this Patreon push, but the fact that we made content, the fact that Cool Greg is walking around with, you know, the camera, and then Kevin's recording over here, like we all have our cell phones out capturing different moments. Like, being at WrestleMania recording or Royal Rumble recording Cool Greg's reactions. Like, yeah. It feels like it's just like a different decade. I can't believe that happened.
Like, that was like a year ago. Like, yeah. That is so absolutely mind blowing. Nick, to your point about that moment before we get on the plane,
I love it.
There's a rare Greg Miller that only exists in that 30 minute max period where we're just sitting waiting on the plane, where it's like we think that he fucks with us now. There's some like, he's in full prank mode before we get on a plane. Yeah. It's always like, dude, how many things can I sneak in your backpack without you noticing? How many times can I like switch you guys' drinks? Or just like, it's always just weird shit. And then you look over to him and he does that like, like,
yeah,
why'd you turn into the worst parts of Nick? Like, I don't understand.
Oh, it's the best. That's why. Well, there's two. There's that. And then coming back is Greg needs to recharge mode.
Yeah. Coming back Greg, is he's done. He always has the hood up.
Yeah.
It's like the only times you see Greg Miller with his hood on.
Yeah. And it's like, it's still you because you're fucking 900 feet tall. We can tell.
What I remember the most is being in Kansas City and
Kansas
or maybe
City.
It was Arizona. Party. I always forget. I always forget whether it was Arizona or Kansas City. But Greg kept saying, guys, it's vacation. And Kevin kept going, no, it's not. We're working.
Like, he did the same thing. He did the same thing with the year me and Tim went to Toronto with him, I think. Tim, you were with me on that one, right? I think it was me, you, and
I did one.
It was me, you, and Andy. No, yeah. It was Andy. There was three of us.
I went to both Toronto places. I went to both Toronto's. Nick went to one. Tim went to the other.
That's right. We went to Andy the trip we did in Toronto when we ended up meeting up with what's his name for dinner.
We met up with Adam Boyce. And then we met up with the Funhouse at the rest of that.
And it was just. Rage. It was like, why are, like, at one point I was like, I'm having so much fun, but in the back of my brain there was a little kid that was like, why are you drinking so hard? It's not even volume, it's hardness of how like I'm slamming these drinks back like I'm never gonna have another cup of custom cocktail.
It was bringing in the worst vibe and the worst amount of energy, the worst type of energy, where we went to that place and it was so relaxed. And you could tell that when we walked in, people were like, who the fuck are these guys?
Oh, you remember
like,
when we went to meet up with Funhouse?
Yes.
Tim, we told this story before, but I'll tell it again. We go to that themed place in Toronto. It's like Marvel themed, Star Wars themed rooms, Bar Grey Bar.
Dragon. I follow them on Twitter.
They're great.
Or on Instagram.
And here's the thing. Me, Andy, and Greg are about three drinks and maybe four drinks in after a really nice dinner. By the way, we had a huge dinner right beforehand.
Oh, so good.
And we walk into this, and part of it is because I'm so excited to hang out with
the Stormcrow Manor.
We're all excited because we love Funhouse and we love hanging out with them. And usually it's like they're usually on our level. It's just that this time we didn't realize we were on a different level than we normally are.
We were
starting from about 90%. They were at 10%, and we walked in and we were the assholes. We were just assholes to the point where sometimes I do that thing, Tim, where I think I'm being charming and then it doesn't get the reaction from the table next door.
I have that
crossroad where I'm like,
there's that moment. What do I do? Double down. I'm gonna do that one. Yeah, you often double do down. That.
Yeah, so that's how that went. But man, it was so fun. And it reminded me of that because we did a KFAF with James and Elise last week, and me and Andy were cutting through today, and they're just so lovely. And I miss hanging out with them. They were always my like two of my favorites to just sit and relax and because I think when we were in Toronto, Tim, you and me hung out with them too and had a drink. It was just so fun.
No, it was you and me.
Oh, that was me and you. And why do I keep thinking you, Tim, was in all these wonderful memories? I've never had a single good memory with Tim. Apparently, with Andy the entire time.
No, Nick, we've had some. Not to go down this path too far, but like, we haven't. Hasn't been too many Tim and Nick trips that are just the two of us.
No.
But when they happen,
they're ragers.
I was gonna say, we'll get to those moments after a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by ExpressVPN. When you use the bathroom, you always close the door behind you, right? You don't want a random passerby looking in on you. So why would you let people look in on when you go online? Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing the door in public. You don't want to do that. It's a real bad time for everybody. Did you know that your internet service provider like Comcast or Verizon knows every single website that you visit? What's worse is they can sell this information to ad companies and tech giants who will use your data to target you. And that sounds scary. ExpressVPN puts a stop to this. It creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so that your online activity can't be seen by anyone. You should use ExpressVPN VPN on all your devices. It works on everything from phones to laptops, routers. Everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can still be protected even if they don't have ExpressVPN. I've been using it to make sure that my online identity is staying safe. The best part is using ExpressVPN is as easy as closing the bathroom door. You just fire up the app, you click one button, and you are protected. If you're like me and believe your online activity is your business, secure yourself today by visiting expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. Use the link expressvpn.com/kindoffunny, and you can get an extra month, extra 3 months free. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. Also, shout out to Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone's looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows that you are more than just your credit score. Now's the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high interest credit card debt. One of my really good friends had to do this recently, and it actually was super easy for him and it's made his life a lot better. Just having one thing to focus on instead of many kind of simplifies things and allows you to really wrap your head around it. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate, and it's just a soft pull, so it's not going to affect your credit score. The best part is once the loan's approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. You can see why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry over to upstart.com/kindoffunny to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. A note, your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. One more time, that's upstart.com/kindoffunny.
Good job, Andy. What's funny is I started the stopwatch to see how far we were through, and I was like, oh, we're only 35 minutes through, but I started at 10 minutes too late. So that's good. Nailed it, Andy.
Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. Forgot what I was going to segue to.
You were talking about moments that me and you had together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we don't need to talk about it, but it's just like I always appreciate the Tim and Nick going to LA or just like doing random ass shit. It's always fun, and we always get
to like the time we went and did the Disney commercial, and we showed up and the director was like, so this is a Disney Emoji Blitz commercial, and we were like, yep. And he goes, this is a game usually for like tweens, and we're like, mm-hmm. And then they were like, well, you guys are our two leads. Yep. And then they said, well, when do you shave your beards? And we were like, no.
Dude, that crew poor hated us, man.
That poor director was like, fuck my life. This was supposed to be my. He was like, this was going to be the thing that got me the Marvel movie. And I don't get the Marvel movie anymore because who would trust me? I cast a 47-year-old man and a 40-year-old man to sell this kid's game to the populace.
What were you expecting?
Legitimately, that was one of the fucking funniest things because it was one of the only times where you and I got to go to like a real thing and they treated us like we're like celebrities. And it was just like, we're so not that, and you can tell that the people that actually had to like work with us hated us. Yeah, but everyone around them was just like all these people are working super hard. Me and Nick are just fucking around with the costume designers. Like,
yeah. Now to be fair,
Nick's constantly trying on like smaller and smaller shirts.
Yeah, I was trying to get my spons to come out, if you know what I mean.
Oh God.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, they didn't hate working with us. They just, the whole process was not as enjoyable as it should have been for them. But we had a great time.
That was true.
Tim, I'm not going to say anything details because it's all extremely NDA'd, but you and I did something recently.
Yes.
And it was just fun to get out of the city. Yeah.
And that was a perfect example of a fun Tim and Andy trip. We never do that. Like, that was cool. We got to drive a little bit.
We drove somewhere. We left San Francisco and we... it was a cool opportunity, and we ate food. That was great.
Did you guys go through the drive-thru somewhere?
Unfortunately, we did. And I don't again, there's a lot of stories here that I'm just like, let's just get to the highlights because like we don't need to give every damn detail of it. But what happened here was we tried getting some Chick-fil-A because we were like, we just need
to spend time.
We're here. There's a Chick-fil-A here. So we're gonna get it, even though we don't stand by their politics at all, but we want this goddamn chicken.
I just really wanted a nugget. I'm sorry.
But there was a Popeyes like two blocks down. The drive-thru was way too long for Chick-fil-A.
Don't the Chick-fil-A nugs give you the runs?
I was willing to take the risk.
Damn.
I was willing to take the risk, yeah.
So we went to Popeyes and the drive-thru was not nearly as long. We order and immediately me and Andy are like, oh, this is not going to be right. And the guy like looks out. We see the people kind of panicking, just like looking around. And we're at the final pickup spot at this
Nick,
point.
Nick, picture the panic moment in Chernobyl. Just kind of where they know something's wrong. Like these guys are just walking around like the meters are all off. Like what's going on? Something's about to happen. And they kept looking at us and at least 5 minutes of coming back and forth and being like, hey, so you all had this, right? And we're like,
bad.
So they give us it. We get to the parking lot. We have like 5 minutes to just scarf this shit down before we have to do what we have to do. And Andy pulls it out. He's like, oh, this must be yours. And gives it to me, opens up his. He goes, that isn't yours, is it? I'm like, nope. He's like, cool, total wrong order.
Yeah, me and Tim are really craving. And I'll tell you what we got was still good.
It was
but
good.
Nick, like, my mouth's watering just thinking about it right now. I'm probably gonna get some after the show. The Popeyes Cajun tenders. I swear to God, people are gonna think we're sponsored by Popeyes as much as we talk about them on Games Daily and all the other shows. Please sponsor us. The Cajun tenders are so good. They have such a good spice to them. And the Cajun fries on another level. Like these seasoned fries are fucking delicious and crispy and crunchy and they're great. Tim didn't order fries. So I opened the box and I'm like, oh, this must be Tim's because mine surely has the fries. Opened mine. I was like, no, they just gave us a three piece of like, they gave us a thigh and two legs, two drumsticks. They were still Cajun seasoned, and it was fucking good, man.
Okay.
It was still
to eat in limited time.
It was still delicious, and then we put our masks in, and we had it in, and yeah, it was good.
I had a very similar experience the last time I went to Taco Bell. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but when you go to a Taco Bell KFC, they're now doing a limited menu, and I don't know if this is something that's going to continue past COVID or if it's just going to be for the foreseeable future, but they've knocked off like 50% of the menu items, one of which is my favorite thing to get at Taco Bell, which is the Nacho Supreme, which is it's a little plate of nachos about this big. And so when you get that, you're like, I can definitely get three other items. This is too small. It's too small. But the guy's like, we don't sell that anymore. And I was like, don't lose your shit. Don't lose your shit. God. Do not lose your shit in the Taco Bell right now.
You don't need to do this.
I was like, I literally took a breath. I was like, what do you have? And the guy's like, sorry, all the only nachos we have are the chips and cheese. And I was like, you better fucking have a better option for me, sir. I'm thinking this. I'm like, because these chips and cheese, that is not a fucking nacho.
Nick.
That is a side of chips and a side of and a fucking container of nacho cheese. That does not make a nacho. Do you understand
what
me,
I'm
Andy?
Picturing? What I'm picturing is you like in your mind saying, don't freak out, be calm. But then the guy being like, oh, we don't have that. And then you look at him being like, what do you have?
Like, it's just literally, super this angry. Is what it looked like.
What the fuck do you have then?
Right. So then he goes, I'm sorry, sir. We only have the chips and cheese. And I'm like, ballistic countdown. 3, 2, and he goes, or the Nacho Bel Grande. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh.
Explain to me about this Nacho Bel Grande, because it's been a minute since I had these things. And the guy's like, well, I was like, how big are those? And he goes, no shit, Tim, they're this big.
Fuck yeah.
And I was like,
oh, what is it?
Is it
a burrito?
It's the same thing as a Nacho Supreme. It's just twice as big, basically. And I got it. And I was like, I got it thinking I'm only going to eat the normal Nacho Supreme size out of this. And I got the rest of the menu items I usually get. I got 3/4 of the way through this plate of nachos. And I was like, I'm going to throw up. But I fucking powered through and I ate the rest of everything I got. It was like a real warrior would. So now I have to redo my whole menu strategy at Taco Bell now, because it was all based around the foundation that was the Nacho Supreme.
I feel like I'm such a Taco Bell poser, dude. Because like,
why?
When Taco Bell is in the question, is in the conversation, I'm always 100% down. Yeah. But all I ever get are the crunchy tacos. I never experiment because I know that's what fine. I like, and I don't really want to fuck. And I feel like so many of the other offerings on the Taco Bell menu are of the squishy, chewy kind and less of the crunchy kind. Like, obviously, you're getting nachos, and that's obviously crunchy chips or whatever. But feel like if I'm going to a normal Mexican restaurant, a normal taqueria down the street, whatever, I'm getting the soft tacos, like al pastor or bistec or whatever the hell. But if I'm going to Taco Bell, I want the crunchy tacos, and I want at least 3 crunchy tacos with 1 Doritos Locos.
Oh, so you go four tacos.
Yeah.
Four tacos to me does not seem like enough for me. If you said, because I think I could probably take down a whole little, one of those little containers, the carrying cases of tacos, like 10 of them. I fuck that up.
You could, Nick. No.
I would try. I would get about 7 in and be like, I don't like
myself. We got to try it now, KFAF.
How many tacos can I eat? Done. Yeah, we'll do it. How many tacos can Nick eat?
Some of my favorite memories growing up as a child, as a young Cortez in the Cortez family, my dad would just be like, you want to go to Taco Bell? Just pick up like a little 10 pack of crunchies.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. And then we would like rent a movie and just watch like fucking... Watch this Star Trek. You're like, fuck yeah, this is the best, fuck dude.
Yeah, what a life, man.
A giant iced soda.
I want to take this and segue from this nacho cheese because it reminds me of the story I was trying to tell at the beginning about the nacho cheese. All right.
That comes full circle.
It does. It does. So last week, and I might have told parts of the story already, so stop me if I have for people, but I am just in my kitchen, and at some point Gia goes, what's up with the giant bag of shredded cheese in the fridge?
Oh, I love those.
And I'm like, I don't know. Like, out of all people, why are you asking me? Like, there's no way I should.
Why would I know?
Why the fuck would I know? Like, it's not mine. And she goes, oh, just weird. It's like, it must be Joey's. And I was like, yeah, I guess so. The next day, Joey's like, hey, whose giant bag of cheese is that in the fridge? And I'm like, it's not mine. It's not yours. Like, this doesn't make any fucking
now
sense.
Now it's real. The situation has become real now.
Yeah.
And I legit thought they were fucking with me because I'm just like, this doesn't make sense. Why would they both ask me instead of each other, who totally are the only people that buy fucking food in this house? So I was like, this is weird. And then I decide I'm going to look at this to see what they're talking about. And I open the fridge and it is a fucking gigantic, like, I can't even get it in the square that we have right now on the screen, thing of shredded cheese. Human being, no family should ever need this much shredded cheese in any circumstance. So in my eyes, it's kind of fucking weird. The next night, Cool Gray comes up to play with Moose. The whole family's in the living room. We're all hanging out talking. And at some point, someone opens the fridge and I look over and I see the cheese and it hits me. I'm like, every single fucking person in this house is in this room. I'm getting to the bottom of this.
Mm-hmm.
So
the
questionnaire
begins. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone here, what the fuck's up with this bag of cheese? We all look to Cool Greg, the only person in the house who so far has not verified that the cheese is not his.
Because a massive bag of cheese sounds like Cool Greg. It sounds like something he would do. You know what I mean?
But not really with any sort of reason or motivation behind it. Like, it would just sort of happen. You know?
Right.
Joker status, chaos. I can see that. But also, he's so picky with cheese. Like, he usually doesn't eat cheese. So this doesn't sound like a Cool Greg thing. But anyways, he just straight up goes, fuck, I don't know. And I'm like, y'all are fucking with me because this doesn't
Someone's make fucking with me.
Sense. Someone's fucking with me. And so I see that Gia and Joey are getting riled up where they're just like, it has to be someone's that's not us because we buy the shit. We know it's not ours.
Right.
And so I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And then Cool Greg goes, oh, it might be Nancy's. And I'm like,
who the fuck is Nancy?
Exactly.
Who the fuck is Nancy? By the way, if you're going to pull a random name out of your ass, Nancy is the best one.
Goes, it might be Nancy's. And I'm like, excuse me? Like, who the fuck is Nancy? Oh, Nancy's our neighbor from like three doors down. Okay.
Stop. He's like, full explanation. That's it. That's all you're getting.
And he just goes, oh, yeah. I always give her our cans. Like, we drink so much LaCroix that we, like, I'll put the cans in a box and I bring it to her. And I'm like, oh, all right. And he's like, yeah. And, like, you know, I'm just trying to be nice because whenever we put it out on the side, because, like, for a long time, me and Gio would just put it out there and people would come by and get it. And he was just like, yeah, like, I noticed that it was always her coming to get it. So I was just like, oh, fuck it. I'll just bring it to you. Like, whatever. So they're, like, friends now. Now, keep in mind, Nancy is not this woman's name. Mm-hmm. This woman is a very, very, very old Vietnamese woman who has a difficult-to-say name that starts with an N.
Yeah.
That's very traditional Vietnamese.
I didn't know this was a threat of the story.
She has told my brother, who has tried, and like they've spoken, I guess, and can you imagine how much she can understand Cool Greg?
Zero.
Probably not much. So they're both having this trouble of understanding each other. She eventually just said, just call me Nancy. So he's been calling her Nancy.
Yeah.
And I love all of that. But this is where this gets extremely interesting, because it doesn't answer the question of
I was like, where did the cheese come from? Why is she borrowing and is she paying for the rental space of your refrigerator to store this massive bag of cheese?
So here's the situation, Nick. Cool Greg and this Nancy woman cannot communicate with language.
Yeah.
But they can communicate, I guess, with a bartering system. Because every time my brother every week brings this box of cans, she gives him something. Started off with just a six pack of soda.
Okay.
And he was like, all right, took it. Because she was like, oh, take it. He was like, all right, fine. The next week was a bag of shrimp.
Wait, real quick, Tim, when it was the soda, it was also beer, and it was the stuff that
drink. Kev. You're jumping ahead.
Go ahead.
Because week two was a bag of shrimp. Week three.
Wait. A big bag of shrimp, though, right? Shockingly, like, why do you have this much shrimp?
But can I ask a question?
Nick.
Kevin, this is for Kevin. Have you done the exchange rate to see if Cool Greg's make? Because it sounds like Cool Greg's really making out good on this deal. Because all he's giving her is some empties, and she's giving him, like, a high-valued bag
of
shellfish.
But I think it's the fact that, like, the effort. Because what ends up happening is, he was like, oh, I'm going to leave it on a box outside our house. And then people started picking up, like, other people would come and take the box, even though it was for Nancy. So then he was like, well, to hell with this. I'm going to go knock on your door and give it to you. You know what I mean? So now they have a relationship.
No. So
grandmother, grandson kind of situation.
Yeah, for sure. That sounds nice.
So then the third week, and this is where Cool Greg, like, first told me about this. Like, the bartering had been happening, and I just didn't know. It wasn't until he came up to me. I was sitting here. I just finished a show, and he comes into the theater, which is a rare thing because you guys know Cool Greg in his, like, personal space. Like, he's not trying to get in my space, even though he's totally fucking welcome. So he's always just like, hey, is now a good time? I'm like, yeah, what's up, man? He's like, hey, so the neighbor, she's been giving me stuff whenever I give her the cans. I'm like, oh, that's nice of her, I guess. He goes, yeah, but she did something really weird. I was like, what is this? She goes, she looked through the box and saw all the different things that we've drank, and she bought me one of each. So it's just one LaCroix,
yeah,
one root beer, one, like, one Lagunitas bottle. And it's like, how did you even get that? But the funny is, like, yeah, man, and, like, it sucks because, like, it's so nice, and, like, she really put a lot of work into this, and this doesn't make sense, like, why you'd ever do this, but she did. But, like, a lot of the stuff was just stuff that I didn't even really like anyways. Like, my friend gave me this diet Gatorade or sugar-free Gatorade, and, like, I didn't want to drink it the first time. Now I have to drink it twice.
So what he should do then is drink the Gatorade and throw it out. Don't give it to Nancy, because Nancy's just going off of whatever she sees to provide. Yeah, that was – this whole situation at first made me uncomfortable, and now it's the most heartwarming thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of good. I love it. There's good people doing good things.
That's so lovely.
To get this back to the end. So now we understand what's happening. We understand the why. We understand a lot of the answers to the question words, right?
Yeah.
But we still don't understand why Cool Greg doesn't know for sure whose cheese this is.
Well, and I have to imagine that at some point she gave him the cheese as part of the barter and he just spaced on it.
Well, right? That's the thing. Yeah. And it came to the obvious conclusion for us that he was so drunk and or high that he didn't remember that situation going.
Right.
And it wasn't until we looked at the Nest security cam footage that we realized that, like, this all did happen.
He
very much knew about the cheese, but he totally forgot about it so much that when we asked him, what's up with the cheese? He was just like, I have no fucking idea.
What cheese are you talking about? You guys are crazy.
This makes me so happy. This whole thing makes me happy. And I'll tell you why, guys. Would you believe that I love just eating cheese out of a bag of shredded cheese?
Yeah. It sounds like a very you thing to do. Yeah.
It's so good. If it's just you. Now, granted, if other people are using the cheese, I don't do this. It's disgusting. But if I'm like, back in the day, if it was just my cheese and I had roommates, I was like, fuck you. And I would just go in and eat. Just, you know why?
That's awful.
Here's why, guys. I'm going to explain this to you so you understand where this comes from. Because Tim loves seeing where this comes from in my brain. It's one of his favorite pastimes.
Yeah,
when I was a kid, they used to have a bubble gum called Big League Chew. Do you remember this?
I mean, it's still around. Yeah.
It doesn't exist anymore. It was only from 1983 to 1985. Okay. And you used to open it up, and it was basically trying to get – it basically taught kids how to get addicted to chewing tobacco. And I loved it. I liked that. And I liked the gum cigarettes. And apparently it worked because I was horribly addicted to cigarettes for a very long time. But to me, a bag of shredded cheese is like the healthier version of chewing tobacco. And I love it.
Fair.
Healthier.
There it is.
Fair. It is healthier, but like only in relation to chewing tobacco.
Exactly.
I will say that this
say jogging.
Real quick, Andy, before you go on, because I want to get this in here. Cool Gray just texted me, and I thought he heard me and was texting me like being like, "Oh, come on, bro," like he normally does. No, he texted me and said, "I'm gonna get a white glove and smack around Moose like it's the last level of Smash Brothers."
I love it. That your brother has taken me
at 4:08 on a Tuesday.
The master hand. I love it.
Sorry.
This whole Cool Greg story, I feel like it could be a Miyazaki movie. Like this really heartwarming story, and maybe there's some mysticism and magical elements, but really that's just in Cool Greg's imagination.
If we wrote this, we would call it Cool Greg's Epic Bartering System or something cool like that, you know?
Yeah.
Something like Kiki. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, if you want to, if you didn't know, this is the Kind of Funny podcast where three, sometimes four best friends gather around this table, each bringing topics for your amusement. But that's not where it stops. Of course, you can be a part of the show as well. If you go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny and back us at the $5 or up tier, you can write in. Now, two people have written in with polar opposite style questions, and I will give it to the group as to which we want to answer first and potentially only because we're a little short on time. Do you guys want a question that is a serious question about art that moves you and that moves you to tears and is emotionally draining? Or do you want another question about pooping and how hard to wipe?
God damn, man. I didn't really want to do the first one, but I don't want to do the second one, you know?
Mm-hmm. Andy, that Tim has voted for the emotionally draining one. Which one would you like to talk about?
You're voting for poop?
He's voting for non-poop.
I know, but you're voting for poop.
I'm voting for poop because it's hilarious.
Okay.
Let's go poop, and then we can talk about the other one. My girlfriend, Kiki.
My girlfriend works in public relations, and in search for a possible interview for a medical client, she came across a curious topic. When you wipe your butt, how deep should you go? Apparently, the reporter that requested the topic said it is being debated across the internet, so I thought I'd introduce it to the Kind of Funny community for a debate. She added context. The reporter asked some follow-up question for clarity. Quote, is it possible to wipe too hard or dig too deep? How should one gauge pressure when wiping? Asks Richard from Miami. Bienvenido a Miami.
I do have a top-level question. Like,
sure.
Deep is a weird word to use for this, correct?
No, I don't think so. Because you have to get in that colon. You have to figure out how deep. It depends on your colon, how deep your colon is, apparently. If you have a real shallow colon, then maybe you don't have to worry about it. But
hold on. I guess I have a follow-up question then. Like, are you guys getting in the hole?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, you're not.
Let's put it this way. If this were golf, I'd be trying to clean out the bottom of the hole. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, bullshit. You're rimming the fucking hole, but you're not putting your finger in there.
I feel like I have a very good detection system where I know this was a messy one, where I know that, like, you know, this one, there's a lot of leftover debris, and in which case I will not dig to the bottom of the golf cup or whatever the fuck make this thing, but enough to where I feel safe. And I wipe a lot. And I probably waste more toilet paper than I probably should. I just want to be careful.
My natural inclination is to go deep right off the bat because I don't want to waste toilet paper, and B, I don't want to be there wiping for so long that then chafing occurs and then you get an irritated two hole.
Nothing more alive than feeling like an irritated asshole. Like it feels.
It's my least favorite feeling. I don't like the feeling of irritation or chafing and I especially, Tim, don't like the feeling of like I got it all and then an hour later you're like,
maybe not.
No,
I didn't.
I got to get back in there. So
I'm a little horrified by this concept of digging.
Sometimes I wonder how clean your butthole is, Tim. I do wonder this.
Yeah, I will say though, when they're talking about the firmness of the wipe and the strength of the wipe, it reminds me that this past weekend, this has nothing to do with shitting, but just in terms of strength, in terms of the strength of doing something, I played Overwatch with Snowbike Mike, and he was playing on PC for the very first time.
That's incredible.
And he kept saying, like, man, my hands are hurting. I'm feeling it. You know, I'm like, why? Like, I don't know. Maybe you're just not used to the button configurations or whatever. And by the end of it, he had a blister on the hand he holds his mouse with. And like, happen. So I'm like, Mike, you should not be holding a mouse this hard. Like,
yeah.
And no, we aren't golfing. We aren't at the driving range hitting balls for the first time in like a year, where usually, you know,
you're gonna develop
too much
callus,
of holding
yeah.
the golf club, you're going to build up a callus. We're kind of just gently holding a mouse. In what world are you holding a mouse that tightly? So dude, I got to imagine that Snowbike Mike is getting fucking blisters.
Dude, I it's so funny because when I was younger, playing the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater series like every day of my life, like my thumbs, I was so used to them just getting like blistered and calloused from like doing all my fucking high combos and shit. Now that the remake's coming out, I've been playing this demo every day, and I immediately, this pain comes back, and I'm just like, I thought I got rid of this, I thought I beat you, but I didn't. Yeah. And it just makes me realize, like, man, like people will do a lot of dumb shit just because it brings them a little bit of joy. You know, I'm physically hurting myself.
Oh, sure.
To nail that combo.
Oh, sure. I've talked about that when I used to play Street Fighter 2 on SNES. Like I had a buddy of mine who legitimately cut off the fingers of a glove and just put it on one of his thumbs, because we used to like wear our thumbs down like on the buttons. It was insane. It was insane.
Yeah, well, you're constantly doing like the down forward.
Oh, yeah. Down, right, all right. So Tim, we've established that Andy and I are on the same page. Deeper the better. And there's no,
I don't know that I don't think it in any way you could say that you and Andy are on the same page on this topic. Because I go 100% hard just in the valley. You know,
you
what
don't
I mean?
Go into the, you
are
don't
you
go
ever
into the
going
brook?
Different directions? Like, do no. you will you come up one and then back the other? Because no, I like doing that.
Back,
I like
you're gonna back into your ball. You're
Andy,
gonna,
what is your, wrong get on with your balls. You?
Kevin, like, no, I'm talking about different pieces of paper.
No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, yeah. But like, I it's a one way road. You know what I mean? Like, you're not
one way street.
Yeah, you can't go back and fuck with the tread on shit.
Mm-mm.
Oh yeah, of course. Mm-mm. I can. I do it all the time. So I'll go. Yeah, like, I will go from like ball sack up, right, and then throw that in the fucking toilet. Flush that shit. Not, you know, flush, or just leave it there. Wait for like more to flush or whatever, and then I'll go back the other way, back towards the balls, and then back again, balls towards the back. And it's always a kind of back and forth, give and take. You know, I want to feel as balanced as possible.
Growing up, one of Cool Greg's favorite artists was Christina Milian.
Naturally,
of course.
And she had a song called AM to PM. And there were lines in that song at some point where she said, like, all the girls on the dance floor, like something about all the girls. From the front to the back, let's go from AM to PM. And for some reason, my brother was convinced it was about wiping. And he was convinced that like this was a song about sexy wiping. And I spent my entire life trying to convince him he was wrong about this.
You're supposed to wipe away from the hole, yeah. Not toward the hole. Yeah. You don't want to wipe.
I mean, that's what they were doing, right?
You want front to the back. Yeah. Not back to the front. Never, never back to front, ladies. But if you're out there and you've been doing it wrong, and you wonder why.
But it was doing a public service announcement, I guess.
Oh, for sure she was. For sure she was. Oh man, I'm like, do I want to tell this story?
You do. Let's close the show out with this story.
All right. The other day, my buddy had a birthday party, so we all went to like a socially distanced like birthday party thing out in the park, and I had not heard the new Cardi B song yet. And so I was bumping it as I rolled up, and I was like, I didn't think anything of it, Tim, until I looked over and I was like, oh, right. All of my friends have very young children. All of them. So I got some very, it's that one moment. It was a nice reminder of that. I don't have children, and I'm just different than the rest of my friends. Because one of my buddies was like, why would you think that's okay? And I was like, oh, she makes a reference to the little dangly thing on the back of the throat, Tim. Mm-hmm. And it gets me every time.
Yeah, it does.
It gets me every time, ladies and gentlemen.
That song and Nick Scarpino,
it's my new favorite everything, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
My new favorite fucking everything. We do have a great question from Jordan Luke we're going to get to, which actually is good. I'll put it back on the document, Jordan, so that we can talk about it maybe next week, because I think it's actually a pretty cool question. Not nearly as good, apparently, as Richard from Miami's poop question. So hopefully we've weighed in there, Richard. Please feel free to tabulate our votes as official votes for the internet so we can move forward and figure this out, because I do feel like people just don't talk about how to wipe enough. And also, we never talk about bidets at all, so we should talk about those more. Of course, if you guys are listening to this on podcast services, make sure to subscribe and like us and refer us to a friend, because that doesn't get you any money, but it gets us some. We like that a lot. Of course, if you're watching this on YouTube and you haven't subscribed to our channel, hey, guess what? Subs are going up, and it's always cool to see. It's always nice to know that people want more of our content. And if you're one of them, please make sure you hit that subscriber button. Hit that notification button too, and I promise we won't do more than 3 pieces of content every day. Andy, Tim, and Kevin, thank you so much for joining me today on this podcast. And I'm really glad that I was just super prepped for it across the board. And I'm really glad just now I remembered there's a post show. So stick around for that if you're a patron.
Nick, the last thing I want to say before we get to the post show is that your little outro right there just reminded me of a comment I saw today in the chat during interview that said, wow, the guys get paid to listen to Nick. We don't. We're just here.
I'll be honest with you guys. If you listened to my 20-minute rant on from Milan in review, then you should get some sort of award.
You nailed in review. You nailed it. You've been nailing it, man. It's so fucking good.
Thank you. Let's I real talk.
We're now in the post.
We're gonna get real in the post show.